Our passage is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3, technically through 8, but I'm going to read 3 through 24 just to add a little more flavor to the text. We give thanks always to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, which you have heard about beforehand in the word of truth, the gospel. It has come to you just as also in all the world it is bearing fruit and increasing, just as also among you from the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow slave, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also made clear to us your love in the Spirit. Because of this also, we, from the day we heard about it, did not cease praying for you and asking that we may be filled with the knowledge, or that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good deed and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all long-suffering and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Because all things in the heavens and on the earth were created by Him, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers, or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things are held together. And He Himself is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell in Him, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by making peace through the blood of His cross. And although you were formerly alienated and enemies in your mind because of your evil deeds, but now you have been reconciled by His body through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is the reading of the word. The Lord bless the hearing and the listening and the reading and the meditating tonight. So some of y'all know that my job has me in lots of various organizations doing consulting work and improvement work. Some folks find the idea of a consultant to be rather silly and a waste of money. They think consultants are, worthless. I disagree, but then I am one. Anyway, in an industry that's notorious for being one of high employee turnover and churn, which is, people leaving. And in so many of these companies, employees leave at an alarming rate, or are absent at alarming rates, and that has been the norm for really a long time across a large swath of the industry, all right? And, there are companies and organizations that go and spend lots of time and lots of money trying to figure out what's going on and surveying and researching, and honestly, the thing that keeps bubbling up to the surface in all of these researches and all of these surveys, the reasons why people don't want to come to work and leave companies is they feel time and time again that they are not recognized or encouraged for good work. Now, this is recognition of worldly stuff, right? stemming from worldly activities, worldly achievements. But I believe it is a statement to the reality that humans thrive on encouragement. Humans grow. Humans are made stronger, more productive when encouraged. All right? And I believe Scripture bears witness to this. How often do we see the call to encourage one another in the faith? The call to build each other up in the faith. The call to give thanks for each other. To recognize the work of God in each other's lives. And even, dare I say, to admonish one another, which itself is a form of encouragement. But the fullness of all of that true encouragement is really that which is grounded in Christ, in His work, in His Word. It's not fluffy accolades. It's not flattery and fancy words and smooth speech and tongues. It's true, specific, personal recognition of the work of Christ in the life of a believer. Now, it should be understood tonight that our focus really is on verses 3 through 8. And this is really half of a two-parter within this chapter of Colossians. And that includes the other part of this kind of section is the 9 through 14. I read a little bit further to 24 or so. 3 through 8 is one part. 9 through 14 is really the other part of that, and I tacked on the other stuff at the end. So 3 through 8 is the apostle giving thanks for what he heard and what he has been hearing, while 9 through 14 and onward is really prayers that are flowing out of his thanksgiving, and it's rooted in that thanksgiving for the work that Christ has done in them. So the things we are thankful for are generally the things that we really care about. And honestly, conversely, the things that we get disappointed about are really also things that we care about. So what do we see here? We see in Paul's letters, time and time again, him giving thanks about things in the believer's life that are rooted in Christ. Right? Time and time again, most of his letters are like that. Near the beginning, within the first chapter for sure, he's giving thanks for them through Christ. Now granted, he has some where he doesn't do this, and in fact, he goes straight to stop messing up, right? You've seen that where it's like, hey, this is Paul. Timothy says hi, right? You're doing this, you know, greeting you in the face. Stop doing the silly things, right? Stop doing the stupid stuff. You know, it's the same idea, right? There are some of these letters where Paul actually doesn't go with the, I thank God for you. He cuts straight to the chase. He starts admonishing them, right? But that's also showing his care for them and the concern he has about what's going on. So here in this chapter, in this book, and in most of the epistles, we see and we hear Paul's care for the believers bound up in the positive, in the thankfulness for what Christ is doing in them. So if we go back and look at some of these words, we have he's heard about their faith in Christ Jesus and the love that they have for all of the saints. Because of the hope that they have and that they've heard about Christ and it's bearing fruit and increasing and all of it, and it's being learned and heard and preached and taught in Colossae, right? So these are things that he's concerned about and cares about, and he's telling them about that this is important, and that's why I'm thanking you, because this is something that's important to me and ultimately important to their growth in grace and godliness. Sometimes we should realize, perhaps even often, that we actually don't even pray out of thanksgiving. So we saw where Paul goes from giving thanks to talking about how he prays. And this goes into this long, lengthy, like, six or seven verse prayer, practically speaking, for them. Often, we don't have that same kind of view. We don't pray out of thanksgiving or any prayer of thanksgiving. And so oftentimes we get so focused into the bad news, the help that we need from Christ. And I do not want to diminish that we do need the Lord's help, right? We are weak and frail creatures. But we get so focused on that sometimes we find ourselves being super earnest about our deep-seated needs. That when there's something wrong, earnest and fervent prayer when it's bad. But giving thanks because folks are joyful in the Lord, or folks are growing in the gospel, or the gospel is going forth in effectiveness, this really isn't always something that comes to our minds to pray about, right? To give thanks in our prayers. right? Thankfulness that people are joyful in the Lord. And yet that's what we have here with Paul in many of his epistles, giving thankfulness for their joy and their growth. So here we have it. He's actually making this a regular practice in his prayers for others. So tonight, very briefly, the key takeaway for y'all is that true encouragement is really found only in the Lord through recognizing his work and sharing that thankfulness we have for one another. And so some topics we're going to cover is that true encouragement comes from gratitude or thankfulness, and specifically that found within the work of Christ in the lives of believers. True encouragement is not silent, and then true encouragement is really anti-gossip. It hears, but it hears rightly. So let's talk about this for a moment. True encouragement comes from gratitude and thankfulness. So if we look together in here, in this passage, the salutation is over, and the first thing we see is Paul thanking God for the Colossians. He's made it known to them that he is thankful to God for them. And this, like I've said, is a common theme. What do we see? Romans 1, I give thanks to my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. 1 Corinthians, I do not cease giving thanks. I give thanks to my God always concerning you. Ephesians 1, I do not cease giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers. Philippians 1, I give thanks to my God upon every remembrance of you. 1 Thessalonians 1, we give thanks to God always concerning all of you. 2 Thessalonians 1, we ought to give thanks to God always concerning you. And 2 Timothy 1, I am thankful to God when I remember you constantly. So, that is a good number of his epistles right there. Within the first chapter, he is giving thanks to God for them. And let's just think about that for a moment. Even in our own lives, when we hear somebody say, I thank the Lord for you, that is an incredibly encouraging statement to our hearts. When we hear that somebody is thankful to the Lord for us. And here we're hearing it first person from Paul to these people, that he is thankful for them. Folks he has never even met before, and he is thankful to God for them. Now, note that this thankfulness is not general or generic thankfulness. It is quite specific. You note that as soon as the apostle states that he's thankful in almost every situation, he almost always ties it back to a specific reason or set of reasons for his thankfulness. And if you'll note, and you go through each of those passages, it's rooted, generally speaking, in faith in Christ and love for each other. Time and time again, it's generally that theme or some permutation of that theme. This faith in Christ is gifted by God from such a costly act, the sacrifice of his Son. So when Paul thanks them for faith, his thankfulness is recognizing the work of God in their hearts, or in the hearts of the believers. It's an act of worship for Paul to give thanks to God for them, because it's recognizing the worth, the value of that work that has happened. So when he gives thanks for the love they show each other, that is a love that's only found within believers united in Christ. In John 13 it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So having love for each other is knowing and loving Christ. We actually see that in 1 John also. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Loving one another, which is the other thing he commends them for and gives thanks to God for, is this love of one another that's bound up in the love of God, and even more important and primarily, the love of God for them, demonstrated in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son, and the propitiation of him for sinners. So also, our thankfulness should be recognizing the work of Christ, or recognizing the work of God in the lives of believers. So we see here in this passage, we see faith if we understand faith and hope and love are graces in the lives of believers, these are kind of fruit that we see in the lives of believers. It's worked out by the Holy Spirit, and as such, it makes sense to recognize those graces when they're observed in the believer. So even here in this passage tonight, in verses 3 through 8, here at the beginning, he makes mention of this. He says, I thank God for your faith in Jesus, the hope you have laid up in heaven, the love for each other, right? These are primary things that are brought out in Scripture elsewhere. Faith, hope, and love. And here is Paul commending them and thanking God for them that this is showing up in them. And of course, this is not their own work. This is the work of Christ in them. What a precious and beautiful recognition of the specific work of God in their lives. And there's something about that recognition that we receive from others that the Lord uses to stir us up to continue to run that race, right? The Lord uses means. He uses the means for preaching and prayer and all these other things. This is a very ordinary thing of giving thanks, and yet that is also a means that the Lord can use to stir us up to greater godliness and pursuing of good works and running the race well. All right. So he gives thanks, and he gives specific thanks. And you'll notice that that true encouragement that comes from that thankfulness is not violent. Paul, again, consistently started almost all of his letters with this encouragement through thankfulness of the work of God in their lives. He wrote this knowing that it would be read to the congregation, and honestly, many congregations, because the practice was that these would go around to many churches, right? And so, not only is he building up these Colossians, other believers are hearing this commendation and this building up of this thankfulness, and even, for lack of a better word, what's the word I'm looking for when you... Vicariously, they're getting built up by just reading the words of Paul to these other people. Even as we do, as we read the words of Paul to these believers, it even encourages us to live rightly and to trust and believe and love God and love others. So he wrote this. He knew it would be read by other congregations, and especially even this congregation. He knew that the believers in Colossae would know Paul's heart for them through his writing. And these are also folks that didn't know Paul personally, right? Because he hadn't planted this church. Proverbs 22 says, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Paul is recognizing these things and sharing that graceful speech with his saints. And so these saints don't even know him personally, and yet their hearts are being knitted to him and to the Lord through this graceful, grace-filled speech. Proverbs 27 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. They're not patting themselves on the back. This stuff that Paul heard came to him. He heard it from Epaphras, right? And Epaphras, you know Epaphras isn't there going, hey Paul, look what I did here in Colossae, right? No, you guarantee it with all the way we've seen these letters, Epaphras is bringing folks up by name. And he's telling Paul, man, Paul, the work that Christ is doing in Colossae is amazing. The love that these precious saints have for each other and for the Lord is amazing. And Paul is just there praising God for that, right? And so this is not Epaphras building himself up. This is not Paul patting himself on the back. This is not random folks in Colossae trying to feel good about themselves. This is stuff that Paul has heard, and now he wants to turn that back to them in vocal or written words of encouragement and thankfulness, right? So they are not patting each other on the back. They are humbly working out their faith with fear and trembling, showing love to each other and God. And it's Paul, the other man, as it's kind of in this passage, praising them, or technically praising God for them and for the work. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So this is a double-edged proverb. But here we have Paul sharing life, giving words with the Colossians, faith in Christ, and all of that, knowing that with it the hearers will be, quote, for lack of a better term, eating the fruit of his words. That God uses means, and these words that are shared will build up and be used as nourishment to strengthen them for the race that's ahead. But it also means that we need to be mindful of the words that we use, that they should be ones designed to edify and build up and encourage, right? It also means that our words, as Matthew Henry says, will judge us by the affections with which they speak. He that not only speaks aright, but loves to speak so, speaks well of choice and with delight, to him it will be life. And he that not only speaks amiss, but loves to speak so, to him it will be death, right? So that's the other side of this proverb, that it's not only the hearers, but the speakers that are impacted by this proverb, right? And here is Paul enjoying, because we see it time and time again in his epistles, that he loves to give thanks. It is a delight for him, right? And so it's life. All right, and lastly, true encouragement is really anti-gossip. We should note that Paul is sharing what he heard. And oftentimes when we hear folks sharing about what they heard, we pretty much think it's going to be gossip, right? And if you want to call us gossip, I don't think that's the right word. And he's telling about stuff that's actually happening there, and he's not heard about it, and he's not experienced it firsthand. But here he is, he's sharing some news that we've heard. When it's gossip, it's damaging. We know this. It's damaging not only to the hearer, but the speaker as well. But that's not what's going on here. This is anti-gossip. It includes all of the believers in the conversation. This is a letter meant to be read across the congregation, across many congregations, and it's bringing forth that what Paul heard was generally true of the entire group. Right? He didn't take time here at the beginning to give thanks except for that dude over there. Right? This is a general statement. Generally speaking, I'm hearing that there's amazing things that God's doing in the lives of Colossians. Thankfulness, faith, hope, love. Right? And so it's anti-gossip because it's focused on the positive works of Christ in the life of the believers, right? And he's heard about it. It's anti-gossip because it builds up individuals by name, including Epaphras, right? He's a faithful minister. He planted the church. He's a fellow slave, beloved, right? It's anti-gossip. It's reciprocal because Epaphras had been reporting to Paul what's been going on here, right, at Colossae. It relative to this growth in grace and certainly in the same way by naming folks by name. We can imagine, I know it doesn't say that in the text, but with how there's a practice of naming folks in these letters, that I would imagine that as Epaphras is talking to Paul and sharing with Paul, he's sharing folks by name, telling them about this joyful thing that's happening in so-and-so's life, and so-and-so's life, and so-and-so's family, right? And this is anti-gossip. This is the kind of stuff that just edifies the believer, right? So it's anti-gossip also because it's not selfish. Gossip, by nature, is selfish. It's prideful act saying, look at me, look what I know, look at how I have this knowledge that's better than somebody else's knowledge, and I have essentially an attitude that's better than that person because you're dealing with that and I'm not. Right? Instead, it's not this selfish, prideful act intended in wickedness to build up the person who's sharing the news. Right? Paul gets nothing out of this. He has no dog in the race, as it were. He didn't plant this church. It's not a prideful act to share this kind of thing, right? Instead, it's all about building up the others with the news. And Paul had here, like I said, no dog in the race, as it were, because it's not his church. His joy comes from hearing about the work of others, the work that others are doing by the grace of God. There is nothing here that indicates any kind of jealousy that so much fruit was appearing at this church in Colossae. He was delighted and excited and joyful at what was happening in Colossae. Quite different from when people gossip and murmur about things going on. Focus on so many things that are good in the life of the believers. So when we give thanks, we are giving specific thanks for specific ways God is working. We're sharing that out loud with people. We're making sure it's positive and true and honoring and right speech so that it is anti-gossip. What does it mean for you? It means for you, precious ones, first, have your ears ever ready to hear about the glorious work that the Lord is doing in others' lives. Ask about what Christ is doing in the others' lives, in children's lives, in families' lives. Sometimes, I'll be the first to admit, it feels awkward to share what's going on in my life. Surely awkward to share things that I'm struggling with, but equally so, maybe sometimes even more so, to share the ways that God is working. I don't know what it is about that makes me want to, it's like, I don't really know how to talk about that, right? And so take time to find believers and talk with them and kind of just draw that out. Hey, how is Christ working in your life? And how are you growing in grace? And what is the Lord doing with you? Those kinds of things. And some of those conversations happen regularly on our Lord's Day gatherings, and those are precious. When you hear of that precious work of Christ, rejoice together with the person who shared it. You have to imagine that as Paul heard these things from Epaphras, he was rejoicing in the Lord with Epaphras and not just waiting. Thanks, Epaphras. Okay, that sounds good. Just waiting to write it down to share with the church. You know, as that was coming out of Epaphras' mouth, he was praising God and thanking God then and there and lifting up prayers then and there with Epaphras, right? Do that, brothers and sisters. When you hear those good things, take the time to rejoice with them. And then thank the Lord, especially, primarily, for that work that you're seeing. Thank the Lord in your prayers for His work in others. As you see, even tonight, we have our different, quote, sections of the prayer, right? The adoration and the petition and the confession and the supplication and the thanksgiving, right? Take time in your prayers to give thanks, not only for the temporal things, but those very real and necessary and primarily important spiritual things and spiritual growths. Acknowledging that that work is being only able to truly come from Him because of our own weakness and frailties. This is not work that we are doing. This is work that Christ is doing in us, growing us in Him by His Spirit. So as we get ready, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I will close this devotion in prayer, and then we'll move into our prayer meeting tonight. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank You tonight, not only for the ability to gather here together with saints to lift up our prayers and petitions and supplications and confessions and times of thankfulness to You, Lord, but thankful that we even have things to be thankful for, Lord, and we praise You for that. Especially, Lord, for the Word, Your revelation to us, both in the written Word, but especially in Your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we thank You tonight for His work in our lives. We thank You for His work in this church, in this congregation. And we praise You tonight for that. Be merciful to us. Hear our prayers, Lord, and have mercy and delight in the prayers that You hear on the basis of Your Son and His work, not on anything in us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name.